are many ways you can support Write Up My Podcast, but we'd love it if you pick just one.
You can join our Rump Club via Patreon from as little as £3 a month.
Get exclusive access to behind-the-scenes content, the inside scoop on upcoming episodes, members-only workshops, no-holds-barred Gwen and Kate Wiffle Waffle, and more.
Simply head to patreon.com/writeupmypodcast. Or if you prefer to be a one-off supporter, you can send us a virtual coffee. Head to buymeacoffee.com/writeupmy.
Follow the links in our show notes and we will love you forever. Thank you.
It's right up my street, my boulevard. It's right up my Straza. Oh my God, it's garden right up there. Ah, it's right up my podcast.
Welcome to Write Up My Podcast. This is Gwen Watson.
And this is Kate White.
And this is the podcast in which we talk to dazzling people about the brilliant ways that they have to make you feel good.
And we are so excited to be back with season 4, people.
Hooray!
We made it, episode 25.
Episode 25, Kate.
Can you believe it?
Well, I can't. There's part of me that just like, can I believe it? Because it's just such a massive achievement. And then one of the podcasts that I listen to most often, he's always at the end of his going, look, you know, guys, I've done about 900 podcasts now. So I'm going to put some links in below for ones that, you know, are a similar topic that you might enjoy listening to. I'm like, dude.
I know.
I am so proud of our 25.
The number of episodes that people reel out. I am. And I enjoy each season more and more and more the more we do it. Not that I didn't enjoy it at the first, but the more we do it, the more fun it gets.
Absolutely.
The slicker we get, probably.
Possibly not, but I really, really love the topics that we've got coming up this season.
Yes.
Which include
vision boarding, the relationship between gut health and mental health.
Rituals and spells. We're talking to an actual white witch. We've been wanting to get a white witch on board since season one, haven't we?
I know. This is exciting.
And activism around climate change, which can make you feel really positive.
I'm really looking forward to that, actually. We're speaking to a really fascinating lady about that who's called the Climate Optimist. Yes, so watch out for that episode. It's going to be a really
God knows
mind
we need optimism
expanding one. I think so. But this episode 25, we are speaking to the fabulous Emma Mumford, all about the law of attraction and manifesting.
Bring it in to me.
Yes.
Bring it in.
Emma, you may well have seen her on This Morning on the couch with, who was it that presents This Morning? I don't watch morning
TV. Oh my
TV.
God. It's Phil and Holly.
Phil and Holly. You may have heard her on BBC Radio 2. You may have read her dazzling words in places such as the Huffington Post and other newspapers and magazines on our shelves. And she is a real font of knowledge. So we are looking forward to talking to her later on.
It's an absolutely brilliant interview, I have to say. And this one is one of those ones that we walk away with actual, real, life-changing skills and exercises that we've already been doing and really enjoying.
Yeah.
Can't wait to share with you in the try it out section. But meanwhile, hey, Kate, how about a little bit of wiffle waffle?
Hannah.
What have you been doing to make yourself feel good?
I've been up to all sorts since we last spoken. I've been to weddings where my youngest daughter lovingly stroked my belly and said it looked like I was pregnant. Wasn't pregnant, just eating a massive lunch. Thanks, Alice.
How dare
I've been to France. That was fan-bloody-tastic. It was just so amazing to go to another country, another culture and just get away and go on holiday again, having had 2 years worth of cancelled holidays. So that was incredible.
All right. And not only another country and another culture, but let's face it, it is your second home, isn't it?
Yeah, it's my second home. It's my happy place.
You love it.
Where I feel like
Vive la France.
Vive la France. And then tonight I am going for a sea swim at high tide at 8 o'clock under the full moon.
Oh, yes.
And I'm so excited.
This is excellent. I really admire that you do this. Now, full moon, it was the full moon. We are in May. It's the full moon. It's the blood moon, isn't it? Is that what it's called?
Yes. Yeah. Tell us, Gwen. Tell us all about the moon.
Oh, shit. No, don't ask me that. You're the one with the almanac.
Oh, okay.
All I can tell you what, I think it was about 4 o'clock this morning that it was the blood moon. And that it was also, there was also a full moon eclipse. So it's a powerful time
Do you know what? I woke up at about 4 this morning, and my brain was buzzing. I was having this dream that people were leaving chunks of conversations in a bucket for me, and I had to go and pull out these chunks of conversations and listen to them.
Oh my God.
And then I woke up and my brain was just working overtime, and I had to get up, and I was up for about an hour. I wonder if that was all related
to this
crazy ass moon. Well, while I ruminate on that, Gwen, tell us, what have you been doing to make you feel good?
So, yes, I have been fully embracing the full moon. Now, we were talking about this last season after interviewing Emma Howarth on her book of, you know, Year of Living Magically.
Yes.
And then today we're talking to Emma Mumford and her book, Positively Wealthy, which is all about having, you know, living the most wealthy life in all aspects of your life. Yeah. And she also talks about harnessing the powers of the moon. And
yes.
And in fact, she gives a little bit more detail on the actual letting go ceremony you can do at the full moon. So I went full hog last night. I had the log burner going. Yeah. I had the meditation music playing. Yeah. I had Palo Santo burning in the background. I threw in a shot of Kahlua because I thought there's something ritualistic about that.
Yeah.
I had a candle.
When you say you threw it in, did you throw it down your neck or throw it in the fireplace?
Down your gullet.
Good. Yeah. Please. Don't waste a good shot of Kahlua.
No. I felt that I'm going to add that into my full moon ritual. That I'll have a little sip of my Kahlua. Auntie. Oh my God, it's so delicious. Had a candle burning. And and then wrote out all the things that you want to let go of.
Yeah.
And you write this little like message to the universe. I'll paraphrase. It's basically something like, hey, universe, could you take this shit out of my hands? Because I'm done with it.
Don't want it no more.
Yes. And you write out all your list. And then I kind of just went through it and I read out my message to the universe and read out everything I was letting go of. And Emma Mumford tells you I let go of this now. And so everything, it was like, I let go of this now. And then set fire to it. I did singe a couple of fingers. So be careful in this bit.
Safety first, kids.
Yeah. I'm a grown-ass adult, still managed to singe a couple of fingers while I was trying to read my letting go thing and burn it at the same time. But anyway, drank my Kahlua. It was all fine. I felt really, really good.
I can imagine. That sounds really satisfying. The kind of the symbolicness of... It's one thing just to think, oh, I don't want to do that or be like that or feel like that anymore. But to actually go through that ritual, and it kind of brings it to life a bit more and feels like something's actually physically happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I love that. I love the kind of idea of ceremony.
Yes, me too. You know, very satisfying.
Yes. And just making it, and it all in the kind of bid for self, increasing your self-worth, self-love, self-care. It's all about just creating this little space and making something special out of it.
Making something special out of it. I totally agree. It's so easy just to kind of bumble through life and the days trip into the weeks, trip into the months. And, you know, the sort of time just fluidly disappears. But actually to focus on these moments and these ceremonies and these thoughtful elements of your life, it's really satisfying. It brings a real richness, I reckon, to the everyday. I like that.
Yeah, I like that. So now, Kate, on to the more important things. Did you watch Eurovision at the weekend?
I missed Eurovision because I was at this family wedding that I went to the weekend, so I completely missed it. But it sounds like it was a roller coaster ride of excitement. Give me the highlights.
Oh my God.
You've got 30 seconds. Go.
All right. Yes, I'll do a nutshell because this is already old news, isn't it? But basically, for the first time in over a decade, the UK made it not only onto the left side of the leaderboard, but they made it to the top of the leaderboard.
Yes, brilliant.
And with the jury votes from all the countries, the UK...
Yeah.
For some unknown reason, I mean, it's an absolutely brilliant song and a brilliant performer. And I think what was in our advantage is that our performer looks like he's from Norway. we came top out of all the jury votes, and then when everybody across Europe all voted themselves, including us in the UK, we all voted for the Ukraine. So the
of
Ukraine
course.
Came out top
of
in
course.
The end, which is actually really, really lovely. It shows great support. definitely. The Ukraine song is absolutely brilliant. It's a right
bop. Amazing, what a night.
So actually, the outcome, absolutely brilliant. The Ukraine won. They need a bloody win. And
bloody
we came second and we came first in the jury vote.
That's
absolutely
so exciting.
Amazing.
Have you seen the film about the Eurovision contest, song contest, with Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams?
Oh, I've seen it three times.
Oh my God, I love it so much. It's so good. And
it's
now
so
that's
funny.
All I think about. Because I did watch some clips yesterday of the winner and I was looking at like the stage designs, like they go all
yes!
out with the set designs on stage, don't
yes.
they? And it was just making me think about the film. I mean,
yeah, it's just a joy. The whole thing
brilliant.
Is a joy, isn't it?
I love
so literally,
it.
Sam Ryder with his tune Spaceman, co-written with Amy Wodge, by the way, Welsh girl, he has taken Britain from zero to hero, because
oh,
we got
yes,
zero last year.
Was,
so congratulations.
Wasn't there a song about 20 years ago called Spaceman?
Yes.
Yes.
I think it
okay.
was a Levi's advert, wasn't it?
It wasn't a Levi's advert, but I imagine the band are really gutted that they'd only remember for the Levi's advert and not for their
yeah.
amazing yeah. pop performance.
Can't remember.
I'm trying to remember who it was by.
It was a song by Babylon Zoo.
Babylon Zoo,
back in
that was
1995.
It. Where are they
well
today?
Well done, Kate.
What were you doing in 1995, Gwen?
That's it. 1995, I was in my year off in between A-levels and university, and I went to university in 1996. How
wow.
about you?
So you were spreading your wings, becoming a woman, doing all those
I
things.
Was, yes, exactly what I was doing. I was working in Argos in Walsall.
Were you? Ah, sweet, sweet memories.
Kate, what were you doing in 1995?
I think I was doing my GCSEs, dreaming of a job in Argos.
it's a highlight of my history, I tell you what. Doing a Christmas job at Argos, what a joy.
Well, I tell you what I've not been watching. I've been avidly avoiding watching anything or reading anything or engaging in any way with the very, very sad Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial. Because I just feel somehow dirty and tainted if I read it, because it's so sad. I just feel like I don't want to sit there gawping at these
yeah.
two people's lives unravelling, or
yeah.
generally, you know, it doesn't
it's
feel
really
like something
sad.
That should be turned into a form of entertainment.
No, and it totally has. And I've totally I'm not going to I put my hand up and say I got sucked into it, and I started
yeah.
watching and, you know, liking the memes and liking
yeah.
the little videos. And I was like, yeah, I know nothing about this, but I'm team Johnny.
Yeah.
And like how Johnny's having a little laugh in court and
yeah.
everybody, it's but suddenly it just becomes a bit icky and you're like, hang on a minute. This is if she has been abused by him, under no circumstances should we be mocking the victim, you know.
No.
And yes, so it's obviously a much more complicated case, but the two of them are in this toxic, I don't know, I just feel like we shouldn't be seeing this. It's
no.
so private.
And it feels yeah. like there's all sorts of mental health issues that are all wrapped up in it.
And a lot of trauma.
And it just feels like there are no winners in this scenario.
Yeah. Oy vey. On a plus note, anything you have been watching that's made you
yeah,
feel nice?
A bit of Taskmaster for those light-hearted giggle moments. Can't beat a bit of Taskmaster. I love
Taskmaster
it.
Taskmaster is hilarious.
It's brilliant. It's
hosted
properly
by
genius.
Greg Davis, who I want to marry, and
yes.
with Alex Horn alongside him, and just always has brilliant, brilliant comedians on. Doing
yeah.
hilarious tasks. Who have they got? Is this a new series then?
So it's
who
a new series.
They
they've got, oh my God, I can never remember how to pronounce his name. Okay, the actor who was in Father Ted, he's a comedian.
I know who
yes,
you mean.
Yes, Adlow someone, sorry.
Irish, is he Irish?
Sorry, he's Irish. A Geordie comedian who I also can't remember their name.
I should not have asked you this question. I can see now the error of my ways. Would you like to sum up and say they are four very funny people?
They're four very funny people who do have names. And do you know what? I want Alex Horn's job. I would love to spend all day, every day coming up with ridiculous tasks for a bunch of comedians to do. I mean, what better way to spend your life? It's brilliant.
Do you know, I saw Alex Horn live at the Machynlleth Comedy Festival a few years ago. He yes. does this thing with his, he's an incredible musician, and he does it with like the horn section, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Like, so they're all, he's very, very funny.
Yes.
And very talented.
Actually, I would say he's not an incredible musician. The rest of his band are incredible musicians.
Okay.
And he kind of sort of rides the joke of the fact that he can't sing, yet he's the lead singer and he can't play any musical instruments.
Okay.
But he's done that clever thing of surrounded himself by talented people.
Yes, so people walk away going, isn't he an incredible musician?
What a talented musician. Can't even play the bloody recorder.
That's absolutely brilliant.
It's right up my podcast.
Shall we give a shout out to our special VIP Patreon?
Yes, because if you join our Patreon and you pay a little bit more than all the others and you become one of our VIPs, one of your absolutely marvellous perks is to get a shout out on the actual podcast. And so this week, we would like to give a shout out to our very first VIP Patreon, and that is Vincent Chloese.
Vincent, we're so happy to have you as our VIP. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Vincent is a love coach and a life coach. He's brilliant.
And head over to our Patreon page, because there you will find you can join from as little as £3 a month, same as a cup of coffee. Depending on what level you join at, you'll get all sorts of perks, behind the scenes, extra content, extra whiffle waffle from Gwen and I.
Yep, you get to ask us questions. We will answer anything you throw at us. And basically, it's like our own little club. It's like our little behind the scenes club.
Yeah.
Where us and some special folk hang out together.
Yeah.
So we'd love you to join us, please. You'd be more than welcome.
Come on down. Patreon.com/writeupmypodcast. And you will find us.
This is episode 25 of Write Up My Podcast. And in this episode, we are talking all about the law of attraction and manifestation.
Indeed we are. We are talking to Emma Mumford, who is the UK's leading law of attraction expert. She's also an award-winning life coach and mentor. She's a two-time best-selling author and podcast host of Spiritual Queen's Badass Podcast. As I said earlier, you may have seen her on the likes of This Morning. You might have heard her on BBC Radio 2. But we started our chat with Emma by asking her, what is the law of attraction?
The law of attraction is essentially the notion that like attracts like. So what we put out into the world, the energy, the vibration that we put out into the world is what is reflected back to us. So we've probably all had those instances where we've gone to work, we've gone throughout our day and something annoying's happened and we've gone and told somebody and then we've gone and told somebody else. And by the end of the day, another thing happens and you're just like, oh, it's just been one of those days, right? And then on the flip side, we've had those days where something positive has happened and we've gone and told somebody and been like, oh my God, you'll never guess what's happened. And then something else positive happens. By the end of the day, you're like, wow, it's really been my lucky day. So this is the law of attraction in action. This is how we experience it in a really practical way.
Okay, interesting.
There are three traditional steps: ask, believe, receive. But as I've been along my manifesting journey for 6 years now, I realized that actually it got a little bit deeper than that. And I was hitting these blocks with my biggest manifestations, where I realized that these three steps just weren't sufficient. I weren't just quite cutting it for my biggest dreams as such.
That is really interesting, because I was going to say that out of the ask, believe, receive, I think the toughest step is the believe step, isn't it?
Absolutely. So when we are manifesting, we can manifest a whole different array of things. So you might hear the word manifestation, manifest, or law of attraction. They're all the same thing. And when we're setting intentions, it can be for physical things like money or a promotion or a relationship, love, but it can also be emotional things as well. So it can be things like feelings and emotions. So maybe you want to feel more at peace, or you want to feel happier, or you want to feel joy in your life. So there are so many things that we can manifest. There are no limits to what you can manifest or how much you can manifest. The universe is limitless. It's only us as humans who create these limits and limiting beliefs beliefs and fears and blocks that stop us from manifesting the reality that we want. So our thoughts create our reality, our words create our reality, but most importantly, the biggest one is our energy creates our reality. From going along this, from teaching thousands of people, from looking at my own manifestation work and successes, I really believe energy trumps all. And our energy is the quickest way to our manifestations. So we have to become that energetic match to our desires. So think about the version of yourself who is living the reality that they want to with that relationship or the house that they want. You know, what would they be doing? How would they be feeling? Would they be sat there anxious, checking their phone every 3 seconds for a message? No, they'd be happy. They would be living their life. They'd be relaxed. So it's all about embodying the emotions and feelings and vibration of, you know, our desired reality of how we would be when we have that in our life. So our first step is ask, which is still one of the steps that I include in my 5-step process. And that's all about asking. So setting intentions. So we have to be in it to win it. We have to set intentions and set intentions with clarity. One of the biggest blocks I see is people being like, I want to manifest money, but it's not happening. And I'm like, okay, how much do you want to manifest? Oh, I don't know, just some money. And I'm like, okay, well, that £5 you won this morning is some money. So you are manifesting some money, but you need to be specific if you're
clearer.
Yeah, if you have a goal, if you have, you know, I want to manifest £10,000 for an extension, or I want, you know, a bigger pay rise, a pay increase, you know, you have to be specific of what that looks like. Because remember, the universe is like a divine mirror. So the clarity that you have is what is reflected straight back to you. So the more clear you are, that clarity is going to be reflected straight back.
And also, don't talking negatives. That's one of the big ones, isn't it? So don't say, I don't want a short, hairy, stumpy man.
I love a short, hairy, stumpy man.
Short, hairy. So that's right, isn't it? You've got to put it into the positive.
Yeah. And I mean, it's really important to honor our emotions. I think where that can kind of fall short sometimes in the self-help sphere is sort of bypassing people's emotions and feelings. So they can, you know, if you're generally having a bad day, if you generally feel upset about something or you're struggling, a lot of the time, and I definitely did this at the beginning of my journey, you know, a lot of these old school teachings are like, just think positive thoughts, just ignore everything. And the more I was pushing down the negative thoughts, the more I was pushing down the resistance, the blocks, the fears, everything, you know, just generally how I felt if I was having a rubbish day, the more I would feel awful and terrible. So in your instance, it's not so much about the words, it's more about the energy. So when we are resisting something so much, we're just blocking everything because we're putting so much resistance. And a great example of this was actually when I was manifesting my most recent relationship, I was so against manifesting what I'd had in the past of like, I never, ever, 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 ever want that ever again, that I was creating this massive resistance where actually I had to fully be okay with all outcomes, which actually did mean accepting that I could end up with someone like that. Not, but I had free will choice. I didn't have to accept that. I didn't have to go into that relationship again. I have free will, but I had to drop the resistance and be like, I'm open to what's for my highest good. So if that short, hairy, stumpy man is going to love me in an incredible way and give me unconditional love, then I have to drop that, you know, control of what it looks like or how.
So we've got as far as the believe step. Have we got as far as the believe step?
Yeah, we're on step two now. So step two is believe.
We're on step two. This is the tricky one, right? Because this is where this is where on the outside we really, really want the thing. But we sometimes don't realise that on the inside we really don't believe that we deserve the thing.
And you say it's a difficult step, and I agree with it. Not because it's difficult, but more so because there's not enough understanding around the step that actually it's broken down into 3 steps in this process. Okay. I believe there's 2 extra steps that break down this step into such a more digestible and manageable way, because there's just so much pressure on it otherwise, and it doesn't need to be like that. Okay. So the belief step traditionally is spoken more about, again, believing you're worthy, believing you deserve it. But there's so much that goes into that. It's not just a case of, okay, right, let's all just feel like we're worthy and deserving of this, because you'll think, great, No, I don't feel any different, Emma. I can't.
It's one thing to say those words, but another thing to actually feel them. Yeah,
exactly. So the belief step, I believe, goes a lot deeper, and it really looks into the inner work and saying, okay, looking at our mindset, looking at our belief system, and seeing if there are any limiting beliefs, fears, blocks, or resistance there. So again, looking at it from an energetic perspective. If you're like on one radio frequency and your desire is like on the other radio frequency, it's fine tuning, it's aligning, it's just bringing it onto that same frequency, that same radio station, to align and bring it into your reality. So when we look at that, we look at the energetics and say, okay, so what is stopping you from aligning and embodying that reality right now? Well, it may be that you don't feel you're worthy. It may be that you've had a negative experience before, which has taught you that you never have enough money, for example, and that's why you're not manifesting money. So from the age of 0 to 7, we are literally like sponges. I'm a big fan of inner child work. I teach it massively in my work because it has helped me personally understand so much about myself and understand so much about the inner work and how this is so important with manifestation. So between that 0 and 7-year-old self, we absorb everything. We absorb our parents' relationship with money, our caregivers, our family's relationship with love, relationships, money, health, everything. We are observing. We're like observing everything. And by the age of 7, we have those core beliefs. We have those core patterns that then we take out into the world and say, here I am. Here is who I am. And of course, things can happen after age 7. Absolutely. Traumatic events or just fears can arise. Definitely, we can have negative relationships in our adulthood which impact things. Absolutely. But what I found is that you will always be able to track it back to the childhood around that time, and that core feeling or emotion will always be present in the childhood first, and then you'll take it out into the outside world. You know, for me, for instance, I experienced a lot of negative relationships in my early 20s for 9 years solidly. And I thought, okay, well, that just started then. But as I went deeper into this work, I realized, no. Like, this started in your childhood. And those were physical manifestation. I use manifestation in quotes because it's slightly different. I don't believe we manifest bad things happening to us. Definitely not. That goes so much more complex, so much more deeper. That's a whole nother podcast in itself. Yeah. but at the end of the day, we can look at and say, okay, how is my limiting beliefs and fears creating my reality right now? How has it created my reality so far in my life? So when we clear the way to, clear the way to abundance, where we work through blocks, work through beliefs, work through fears, and they can come from childhood, like I said, from society, from conditioning, so many different places. Like, we all have them, every single human, even myself, who has done inner work for many years now, we all have them. And it's our job to clear the way to abundance and to align with the reality that we want. So that is what we do in that second step. It's all about the inner work and clearing that way.
So how do you clear that? Obviously, you can work with a professional, an expert who can talk you through that. But are we able to clear these blocks? Like, I can think to myself, I can think, yeah, there are things that I've got. But can I clear those on my own? And if so, where do I start?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And, you know, if anybody's experienced trauma, I do just want to say that definitely is something to unpack safely with someone in the right container, in the right space. For myself, even, I've done lots of things by myself from all my coaching experience and all the things that I've learned over the years, things like journaling, meditation. I'm very spiritual, so I like to do things like chakra work and inner child work. So all those things absolutely have given me great results by myself. But, you know, there absolutely have been things that I've needed to work with, you know, a therapist or a counselor or someone who works in a very specific modality with, which has given me great results as well. So I think it's always good to start and safely just inquire with yourself, because then you know, okay, is this something that I would feel safer working with someone with and like having their help and support? Or is this something that, yeah, like I can explore? So I've had clients who have worked through massive money blocks just by using my journal or just by using journaling prompts that I've put in a YouTube video or a blog post. Yeah. So it's definitely possible. Absolutely.
And I guess the first step is really getting clear on where your blocks are or what your blocks are. is it as obvious as you are constantly, say money is a really good example, isn't it? And I think that's probably one that a lot of us have blocks on. And Kate and I were talking about this recently, that no matter how much you can whisper the words abundance to yourself, or I am abundant, or dream about, I don't know, the fancy hotel that you want to go and stay in, or the Ferrari. But yet we're not bringing it in. Is it then just clear that you have blocks? Or how do you discover what blocks you have?
Well, a great way is obviously to look at what intentions you're setting. So first of all, we have to do at least the first step of asking, because sometimes people can say, well, this isn't coming into my life. And I'm like, well, you're not asking for it. So how can you expect money to flow into your life regularly if you're not asking for money to flow into your life regularly? So we have to make sure we're setting the right intentions, first of all, because again, we need to ask regularly to receive regularly. So that example is great with money, because if you want to receive regular abundance, we have to set regular goals. So first of all, making sure that's ticked. And then if you're doing that, and then you're in that second step of belief, and you're feeling that resistance, maybe when you're spending money, you feel a bit funky, maybe that desire's not come into your life. Maybe you're someone who's like, Emma, I set this desire a year and a half ago, and it's still not in my life. These are great indications of there's something to be worked on here, because if there wasn't, your desire would be here. You would be experiencing that reality now. Of course, there are three other steps that come afterwards, but the second step is probably the biggest with the mindset and belief.
Oh my gosh, I just tried Reiki. It's amazing. It amazed me. It did a lovely job of clearing up these leaves and grass and little bits of stick. Oh yes, it did.
You can sit in your room, can't you, like 24 hours a day asking to receive £1 million. You're not going to do it. It's not going to happen, is it, if you're just sat in your room thinking about it? You know, there's got to be more than you. It's got to be an active thing, not a sort of just a passive asking without willing to put in any effort.
So we have to take action, you're right, and we have to put energy towards things. So if you're just having like a fleeting thought or a fleeting, oh, that would be nice, you know, there's not a lot of intention or energy that has gone behind that. So definitely we have to do that. But also it's remembering that manifestation is a co-creation process. So we have to go 50% of the way and the universe meets us 50% of the way. So it's not 90% where you go and make it happen, force it, do everything in your power. Just be like, I'm doing everything, Emma, why is it not working? And equally, it's not a 10% where you're like, I want to win the lottery, but then you don't enter the lottery. You have to be in it. You have to be in it to win it. So action is necessary, 100%. And that's where we move into our third step. So our third step is trust. And this is a new step that I've added in, because again, so much was being jam-packed into that belief. And I don't think people understood what believe actually meant as a step, because again, maybe they were working on their mindset but not taking action. There was all this confusion. So I thought, right, when I was writing my first two books, I thought, what has been my secret to success? If I could break down this process, break down everything I've done with myself, clients, everything, what would it look like? And trust really came through as a third step. So trust is about, yes, trusting in the process. Yes, trusting in divine timing of when it will come into your life. But it's also about taking inspired, aligned action. So if you want to manifest that new job role, are you putting yourself out there? Are you putting yourself out there in the field of possibility and opportunity? Do you have the outfit planned that you're going to wear for the job interview? Is your CV or resume updated? Are you updating your LinkedIn, whatever? So we have to create the container, create the space for the universe to bring the possibilities and opportunities to us. So that's that third step. And I think it's really important, because the action has to feel good to you. So when I say aligned, it has to feel good to you. It can't be like, well, Emma said on a podcast that I have to go and do this, and actually it feels rubbish, because again, that's not going to create positive energy. That's not going to create an abundant flow of energy. So it's really about tuning in and making sure that your action feels good to you, but it's also taking positive aligned action towards meeting the universe halfway.
And this thing about feeling worthy as well, that's something else, isn't it? Like you can have, I guess the blocks can differ, can't they? They can be that you want this abundant lifestyle, but however you judge people who have an abundant lifestyle, or you don't actually deep within see yourself as deserving it or see yourself as living that kind of lifestyle. Is there something, is kind of improving your own sense of self-worth, is that a key part of the process?
Absolutely. And it all comes into that second step of belief, because when we kind of look at our internal world, we have to look at, okay, what am I doing to support myself? What am I doing to create and raise my vibration as such, or raise my energy to feel positive and feel an energetic match for my desire? So absolutely, if that version of yourself who has that job, has that car, has that house, whatever, you're not going to be judging, you're not going to be comparing yourself, you're going to be, you know, busy enjoying that life. So definitely, like, and I always think there is a pillar to self-worth, because self-worth is a very tricky thing to just embody and be like, yep, perfect self-worth. We have to start off, and I believe it's a three pillar of self-care first and foremost, self-love, and then self-worth. We cannot embody self-worth fully without the first two being good and being mastered first. So look at your self-care routine. What do you do for yourself each week? Are you a busy mum or a busy parent, for example, who just everything's about the kids, everything's about your partner, like it's not about you anymore? So it's about saying, like, do I spend quality time with myself? Not do I spend time with myself, because I'm sure we can all say we do, but do you spend quality time with yourself? Do you prioritize self-care? And then self-love is more the one-to-one relationship with yourself. Self-care is physical things like doing a nice face mask, treating yourself to something, listening to a good podcast like this. Self-love is then the one-to-one relationship with yourself. So how do you view yourself? What words would you say about yourself if we stood in front of a mirror right now and you were looking at yourself? Would you say nice things? Would you say judging things? So when we can really master those, we're then able to truly embody that self-worth and have loving boundaries and be able to come from a fully aligned place of self-worth.
Yeah.
So step four, moving further along our process now. So once we've taken our inspired aligned action, once we're, you know, meeting the universe halfway, it's more of a case of taking that step back. So knowing, right, I've put myself in that field of opportunity, possibility, and I'm now open to the universe bringing those opportunities to me. So step four, again, a new step that I've added in, just because this is the one thing that people struggle with the most, but is literally not talked about in traditional law of attraction teachings. So step four is letting go. And I think a lot of people think that letting go means giving up. Oh, it hasn't happened. Oh, we'll just give up then. Definitely not. Letting go is becoming okay with both outcomes. It's becoming present. It's looking at your attachment to your desire and looking at, are you, because again, if you had your desire, would you be sat there waiting, checking up with the universe? Like, is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? I mean, imagine it like a restaurant. If we were all out for a meal together and Gwen was going off into the kitchen saying, is it ready yet? Where is it?
Classic Gwen.
The chef would be
like, where's my food? Know me so well already.
The chef would be like, can you just sit down? It's coming, hun. Back in off, its own lady. Time. Yeah. So, you know, we do this all the time. We place our order with the waiter, with the server. We sit and we chat and we are working through that belief stage. We believe that food's going to come to us. We know it's going to come to us because it always has come to us before. Then we are taking the action by passing the time. We're having a good chat. We're having a good catch up. We're not worried about when that food's going to come because we know before you know it, it will come. Step four, the food arrives at the table and we receive it. So I think it's a great analogy to share because, again, it can just highlight where we do control things and where we are so, like, impatient for things.
Yes. That reminds me of a meme I saw, but I'm not going to be able to remember it, which is really disappointing. But basically this woman who's been like, okay, universe, I've asked kind of thing. And she's like, I'm not being impatient, but can I just get, like, a tracking reference?
Yeah.
Just see where it's at.
What do you do if the food arrives and you're like, this is not what I ordered, come on.
Send it back to the kitchen.
Send it back.
Send Gwen up.
Yeah, come on, Gwen, have a word.
Well, if it's, sometimes we can receive tests from the universe, and I think there's a very split split divide in the community of whether tests from the universe exist or not. I think we can definitely be tested, and I definitely feel like I have received tests from the universe before where I've up-leveled my self-worth, or I've walked away from a negative toxic relationship, for example, and then I will encounter some potentially more red flag people. And, you know, it's my free will of like, am I going to repeat that pattern? Am I going to repeat that, or am I going to choose better? And whenever I've chosen better because I've got that aligned mindset, I've done that inner work, I've worked through that was keeping me stuck in those relationships before, oh my God, the abundance, like you unlock so much and someone even better, even more aligned. And I think, you know, so many people can get disheartened when they don't receive the job offer that they wanted. They were like, oh, I thought that was the one, or I thought that was the job, or what's happened? And I always say, see rejection as divine redirection, because the universe is never wrong.
I like that.
And every time in my life where I've been so upset, so heartbroken, whether it was a book deal, whether it was a person, whether it was whatever, it has felt like, what the F universe, like that was it. And then 6 months down the line, I look back and I'm like, thank God that didn't happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love
so
that.
True. So true.
Recently sent your new policy documents to you, but we don't seem to have received any payment yet. We are therefore writing to check that you've received the documents and to remind you that to remain covered, payment is now due. You'll find the details attached of how you can pay. Sent your payment, please ignore this, and we apologize for any confusion. We look forward to hearing from you.
I just wanted to ask a really basic question because my mind likes things really laid out really simply. So if you're starting, like leapfrogging right back to the beginning of this process, if you're starting at that ask phase and you've not done it before and you're just getting to grips with it, how are we asking? Is it better to write it down? Do you record it? Do you just sit there and just think really hard about it? You know,
that's what I want you to be doing, Kate.
Yeah, we want that face, Kate, as well.
Like. My thinking face. If you ever see me do that, you know somebody's ticking up above. People are feeling sort of slightly uncertain about quite how to step on this train.
And I think it's, again, something that isn't spoken about in traditional teachings is finding your manifesting superpower. And again, I realized from myself and from working with clients that if I just gave everybody the same, like, try these three tools, everybody would have different results. Everybody would have different outcomes. Yes, that could come down to whether they're doing those five steps first and foremost. But secondly, everybody responds to things differently. Some of us are more visual. Some of us prefer writing. Some of us are more audio focused. Some of us are, you know, more action orientated. So it's about trying different methods and seeing what shoe fits, seeing what feels good, what brings the most fun, the most joy, because there are some methods that I've tried over the years and I literally wanted to like cry because it was so boring. And it was like watching paint dry, and I was like, this is not fun, and I didn't get results from it because my energy was not happy, fun, joyful. It was, I have just spent 5 days writing my blooming manifestation down 55 times. My hand is about to drop off. I can't write anything else today. And I just thought, this is not the one. This is not how manifesting should feel. No. Again, visualization for me is not something I would turn to first and foremost. Meditation is writing things down, goals, speaking. Speaking is one that I love manifesting with. Again, you might want to like record yourself speaking your day, for example, of like, today I did this, blah, 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 as if you're living that dream reality. Again, if you prefer audio stuff, perfect. Find your manifesting superpower and try things. You know, you won't know without trying.
And one of the tricks that I use for getting myself into that mindset is gratitudes. And I often do gratitudes like you do at the end of your day, and you write your gratitudes for whatever's going on in your life. I like to do gratitudes, I call them forward bringing, where I'm writing about as if I've already got the thing. And by the end of writing the list of the things that I'm really grateful about, it, I'm just already, I can feel the gratitude in my body. And I think that's part of the, like we were saying, that is part of the battle, isn't it? It's just really feeling it in your body that you've got it, or that it fits for you, that it is you.
Absolutely. And I love that practice. Like, I would call that more scripting or affirmations, just because it does get you excited for what's to come. It gets you in that energy of like, wow, okay, like this is mine. This is going to come into my reality. So it's a great practice. And I think some people really struggle with that practice because they may just think differently, and they may be like, well, actually it's not here, so I don't feel good saying that, or I don't feel. So it's a real split bag of who feels good with that practice and who doesn't. But for those who don't feel good doing that sort of thing and thinking, well, it's not here, what are you on about? I don't feel happy and sparkly and excited,
yeah,
because it feels fake, or it doesn't feel real, actually doing gratitude, of giving or expressing gratitude for everything you have now, is a great way to shift yourself. So not what you want to manifest, but what you physically have here and now, all the blessings. So for anybody struggling with that, a gratitude practice of appreciation for the things you have now is a really great way to raise your vibes and feel good. I'd recommend it to every single person listening, because it changes your life. And then, yeah, once you're feeling good, once you're feeling grateful for the things you have, you can start to incorporate that gratitude or affirmations or scripting or whatever for the things that you want to bring in.
Yeah, wonderful.
So step five is receive.
Yes.
And so we've got to do, so we don't need to do anything for step five then. Step five is when we sit back and we reap the rewards.
Absolutely not. Step five.
Oh, damn it.
I wish I could just say, right, let's pop the Prosecco, let's sit back, let's just chill, it's here.
And let the shower from the universe arrive.
Definitely. And, you know, step five is about receiving, definitely. So in that step, we do receive our desire. But again, I think a lot of people have that sort of misconception of, great, don't need to do anything. I've let go. I'm present. I'm trusting. I've worked on my mindset. I've asked. Fabulous. But really, we have to get into the energy of receiving. A great question that I ask people is, how often or how much do you allow yourself to receive in your life? So whether that's support, love, help, whatever, how much do you allow yourself to receive in life? And I think a lot of people, it's a good wake-up call for them of, I am the doer, I am the provider, I am the person who gives, but yeah, how much do I receive support or love or help or whatever it is, or even abundance? So when we can allow ourselves to receive more in life and receive in all areas of our life in a balanced way of give and receive, we naturally fall into more of a receiving energy, because we are very conditioned not to receive. We're very conditioned to give. Again, that's not everybody's story. Some people may be ultimate receivers and love receiving, but for me, that definitely wasn't the case. So actually learning to receive in all areas of my life opened up the doors for abundance, because I was then able to get into the energy of receiving and receiving support, receiving abundance, receiving love from how the universe wanted to bring it into my life.
So Emma, have you always been into the law of attraction? Has this always been something that's part of your life? I mean, tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are today.
So I started this journey, gosh, eight, nine years ago now. So I was in a very different place of my life. So I've had two businesses. And before that, I was a banking manager for one of the UK's leading banks. Before that, I just sort of like worked in retail. I knew I always wanted to have my own business, but I never knew what in. I didn't sort of have any creations or inventions as such. So I just sort of like potted around and kind of fell into careers and ended up as a banking manager. God knows how, but it was really depressing. Getting depression. I was only 18 at the time, so I was super young. And I was in a really negative relationship at the time as well. So I started developing anxiety and depression. And over the course of 5 years, it got worse and worse and worse. So at the end of that first relationship, I took on his £7,000 worth of debt and got lumbered with it. He didn't pay a single penny. So I was literally 19 years old with £7,000 worth of debt, working part-time because I had to leave the bank because I just couldn't go to work. I was so anxious and depressed. And I was in a really, really difficult stage of my life. So I looked up extreme couponing because I saw a show on TLC and I was like, this is some of me. Like, they're getting thousands of pounds worth of food for free. Like, this would help me massively to clear my debts and to just help me save some money. So I very quickly became obsessed with it. And my friends were like pestering me, like, you should start a Facebook page. You should teach people how to do this. And I was like, no one's going to care. I'm Emma from Dorset. Like, who's going to care what I've got to say? There's like Martin Lewis, all these money saving experts. So after a lot of persuasion, I started up a Facebook group, and within 6 months it literally went wild. So we had over 100,000 Facebook followers.
Wow.
I was nicknamed Coupon Queen in the press. I was doing all these press articles. I was presenting with Holly and Phil on This Morning, doing money saving slots. So it went wild very quickly. And that was my life. So I had that business for 6 years. I turned it into a business, and obviously left employment, which was the best thing ever. I still had my depression at that time. So I then entered into a second not very nice relationship. And in 2016, after running that business for about 4 or 5 years, I got to a place where I felt really suicidal, and I felt the lowest that I'd felt. I was experiencing abuse in that relationship, and it was just awful. Like, I didn't know how to help myself. I didn't know what I could do, but I knew I had to do something to make it through and to change my life and to just experience happiness. And, you know, on the outside, I think a lot of people would think, well, what's Emma got to be depressed about? She's got like a six-figure business. She's on This Morning. Like, she's got all this career success. But I didn't know how to love myself. I didn't know what that meant. I was miserable. So I'd had that depression over that 5 year period. So I tried lots of different things, therapy, counseling, medication, nothing seemed to be working. So I tried all these different things. And in 2016, when that second relationship broke down, I really hit a point of, I'm either going to have to end my life or do something drastic here because I can't keep going on like this. And I remember, like, I wasn't sort of like religious at the time or anything. I would have classed myself an atheist because I thought, you know, why would a God let bad things happen to people and like let people be so miserable? And I remember looking out the window at like 2 a.m. in the morning and just being like, God, help me. Like, I give up. And it was a really powerful moment because the way I use God as well, like, you know, it was like my ego kind of gave up at that point, and I was like, there's got to be something more to this. So I knew there was something more to life, and I knew that I wanted to get to that place. So a couple of days later, the law of attraction started popping in on Google searches and on social media, and I thought, what is this? Like, what is this? And I came across a video when I typed in how to turn a negative situation into a positive, and Louise Hay was on there, and I didn't know it was her at the time. And she was talking about this law of attraction, and I thought, I've got to read up more about this. So I read The Secret, I watched The Secret, and just absolutely fell in love with it because it felt more like a remembering than a I'm learning something as such. And from that point, you know, again, it just, I've loved it ever since. You know, it's completely transformed my life. I managed to heal my depression with the law of attraction and with healing. And, you know, it's just, it's completely turned my life around. And, you know, I'm a completely different place in my life. So I decided after a couple of years of finding the law of attraction and integrating it into my YouTube and my blog and things that I wanted to go full time with my spiritual business. So I set the intention to sell my couponing business because, you know, it had outgrown me. It needed a team of people. And I think I'd outgrown it as well. Like, I'm always going to love a coupon. I'm always going to love a bargain. I always like do a little happy dance when I get something for free. but for me I knew that I could help people in a different way now, and that was with, you know, manifestation and law of attraction.
Thank you so much to Emma for that really interesting chat. We both so enjoyed talking with you. And if you want to find out more about Emma and the work that she does, head to emmamumford.co.uk. There you can find out about her books, you can find out more about her podcast, and you can also find out about the courses that she runs. And she has, this is perfect timing, because she has a new 21-day manifestation course coming out in June. You can still sign up to it. Head to her website and you can find out more there. And I would also advise people to check out her YouTube channel, because she's got loads of free and really brilliant Law of Attraction content on her YouTube channel, which she updates all the time. So a lot of information there. But I'll put all the links to this in our show notes. So now, we, as always, we always ask our guests to set us a challenge. And what Emma actually did was she shared her book, Positively Wealthy, with us, didn't she? Which is full of day-by-day tasks to work through as part of your own manifestation, manifesting wealth. So I think we should put the caveat, do we want to say that we only had this a week ago?
Well, I did absolutely really appreciate her her faith in us, that she set us a task that is for 33 days. And actually, we've done the absolute best we can in the time frame that we have on this podcast, where we usually dedicate a week to doing the task.
So some of the longer term outcomes that you would hope to see from a task and a course such as this manifesting one, we may not have fully got to the end of our journey yet.
Yes.
You know, we're still working with the universe on this one.
Exactly.
But in the time that you've had, Gwen, tell me, why don't you give the listener a bit of an intro into the book Positively Wealthy and kind of what it sets out to guide people through?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that she kind of explains up front is that when she uses the term wealthy, it's not only about financial wealth, because, and this was actually possibly a bit of a surprise for me, that it's much broader, isn't it? It's about wealth in all aspects of your life.
Yeah, and I think that is important to say as well, because money, as much as it's a turn on for a lot of people, is also a turn off for other people.
Yes.
So the fact you can access, you can do this work focusing on other areas of your life that for you are the focus of where you want to grow.
Yes, exactly. I, like you were saying, once we've done the whole thing, we're going to be feeling some amazing shifts, because I've already felt so much in 1 week, because it's a 33-day practice with different exercises every day. And some of them are very practical, some of them are very spiritual. There's a fair bit of writing on some days, other days you're getting creative. So far, what I have been doing this last week is I have cleansed my crystals in the sun and the full moon. I have created a manifestation box and cleansed it with Palo Santo and offered it up to the universe. I have held my rose quartz crystal to my chest while reading over my daily achievements and my positive things that I did during my day.
Yeah.
I have taken back up my writing morning gratitudes.
Brilliant.
I've written affirmations and repeated them to myself in the mirror. This is a Louise Hay trick, her mirroring technique. I've written out my dream lists for my work life and my love life.
Yeah.
I've done a let go exercise along with my full moon letting go exercise. That was all on my love blocks, which has been brilliant. And I've written down all the things I love about myself. So just so far, I already feel so much better about myself.
Yes.
And she really talks about getting into that vibration, getting onto the vibration of, you know, of feeling that self-worth, feeling that you deserve the thing that you want. And I have really felt through all of these exercises, I literally feel this feeling of like excitement inside me rising. And I feel that that's what's happening. My vibration is rising. And I feel like you can get really lost in writing your dream lists when you're writing about like what your dream partner's going to be or your dream work life. And in that, I'm writing about, you know, my work-life balance and what my ideal day looks like and how it makes me feel. And I feel it.
I think it's so powerful to really kind of focus so wholeheartedly on those positive things. So not just writing it down, but feeling it and visualizing what that will be like. And because have you ever been one of those people that have done, what's my 5-year plan? What's, because I've never done that. I've never sat there and been like, right, where do I want to be? What do I want to achieve? Doing this was almost the first time I've really, really thought about that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've done it vaguely before. Well, with my life coach, Vincent, who I mentioned earlier. Yeah. And everything I did ask for did eventuate because I was clear on what I wanted.
Yeah.
But yes, I think that's it. It's more than just getting clear on what you want, but it's actually getting that feeling in your body that you've got it.
Yes. Mm. And this was something I think that Emma said, wasn't there? Then you start behaving like somebody. It gives you that confidence to be like, yes, I am that successful person who can achieve this and do that and is capable of that. So you start behaving like it.
Yes.
And when you start behaving like someone who has those things that you want, then they're more likely to happen.
Yes.
Because this is something I wanted to ask you. Because during all of this exploring, I know you've done a lot more law of attraction work than I have before we came to talking with Emma. But how much do you think, and she said it's a 50-50 thing, isn't it? You meet the universe halfway. How much do you think it's something external to you, something happening in the universe? And how much do you think it is just you, your deeper self, your deeper consciousness, allowing you to make the right decisions that lead you to the place that you want to go to?
Do you know what? I think the answer to that question could be different for everybody.
Yes.
And I think it's like when we, as we've discussed before, for some people they might call it God, for some people they might call it the universe, for some people they might just call it their higher self.
Yeah.
Or it's whatever you believe and trust in, I suppose.
Yeah.
I personally, and I mean, this is such a good question, and it's one I wished I'd asked her, but actually maybe it's just as well that we didn't, because you don't want to demystify it in a way. But
no.
It's something that, you know, on one hand, I believe I'm a bunch of cells living on a rock hurtling through space. But on the other hand, I believe in a greater consciousness somehow, and that I'm a part of it. And I do really believe that I like the comfort of feeling that I belong to a greater collective energy somehow. And, well, I guess if nothing else, you know, we're tapping into our higher self. We're stripping away all the people pleasing and the pressures and the judgments and the feeling of what we ought to be doing. And we're just really channeling into our to what we really want and what we really deserve.
And there's so much power in working that out. And what she was saying about the blockers, understanding what is standing in your way and what you need to clear out of the way in order to be able to get there, shifting all of that out the way.
Yes. And that's been the major breakthrough for me, is when she was talking about her relationships and that she realised she was so afraid of having the same relationship as she'd had before that was actually creating a block, even though on the surface she was like, I want a relationship. But she had this major block in her because she had a fear of bringing in what she'd brought in before. And I absolutely had that. I've mentioned before on the podcast that I was married and my husband was killed in an accident in my 20s. And I've realized through talking with her and doing that these exercises, I realized I've had such a big fear of finding somebody and them dying, and and so I've only had short relationships since, and unearthing that was such a eureka moment. And just so my letting go ceremony was me saying, oh, do you know what, I'm open for all eventualities. I'm open for it. And going, I want us to be together forever until death do us part. One of us will die. You know, it's like, and it was such a breakthrough moment for me. And I do really think the way that she's broken down the believe section is it means that you can, you can really let go of, you can really tap into, channel, find those blocks and let go of them in a way that I've not been able to do before with manifesting.
Gwen, that's huge. I mean, that's a massive shift, isn't it?
Yeah,
definitely. Thank you for kind of sharing what it was that was one of the focuses of your work
Thanks,
that you were
mate.
Doing. These these things go deep, don't they? These blocks that we have and these fears that we have.
Yes.
So interesting.
Now, how about you, Kate? Have you had any breakthrough moments?
I found this such a joyful thing to do. I mean, I'm still partway through it. I'm still working my way through the different tasks and exercises in the book. But what I've done so far, I found so joyful. The writing, the gratitudes, the thinking back to when I was young and the sort of happy memories and things that made me feel happy from that part of my life. And then looking at now, the dream list, which you talked about, the kind of, if there were no blocks, there were no barriers, what would I want to be? Who would I want to be? How would I want my life to look? There was one really beautiful section that said, if money was no object, what would you do to give back to others? List some ideas and thoughts about what you would do with that wealth and freedom that came with it to help others. And so thinking about that, and then she says, now scale that back. What can you start doing now with the resources that you have already? That doesn't mean monetary resources, you know, it's not like how big a donation can you give, but you know, what can you do with your time and energy to help others? And I found that really beautiful. I had this funny moment in that I was sat at this blooming school swimming gala watching my daughter swim. Lots of like alpha parents around me, come on Charlie, rah, like roaring, and I was sat there with my little notebook writing my affirmations, hand on my heart, repeating them back to myself. I must have looked like this crazy person while everyone else was like rooting for little Johnny. I was like, I'm a strong, confident woman. I can retrieve all my hopes and dreams.
Don't take the piss, that stuff is powerful.
It's powerful, man. Yeah. And yeah, I found it really, because for me, the element that I struggled with is that trust step that Emma talked about, that trusting.
Yes.
It's like going through it all, but do I really trust that anything will change and that anything will, you know, these manifestations will come to light? Do I trust that? And that was the biggest thing that I struggled with. Because as we know from this podcast, out of the two of us, I'm probably the one who is a bit more cynical. You know, I'm open to it and all, but I'm probably the one who's a bit more like, really?
Yes.
I'm like, show me the science. You know, that's probably, I'm more that person. But then a strange thing happened yesterday. One of the things that she said was, you know, just put something out there, a little something out there, and see if the universe delivers.
Oh, yes, she was suggesting like ask for a free coffee or a free or a bunch of flowers. Yes.
And I was a little bit doubting Thomas about that. I was a little bit like, you know, I don't feel like, you know, put something out there in the next 24 hours, boom, I'm going to have that free coffee handed to me. But I did, in my mind, I was thinking, well, if I were to do it, what would I say? And I was like, well, maybe that I get a kind of an email, a positive, because a lot of my things that I was manifesting were around work and career. I was like, well, maybe I'll get a really positive or exciting work opportunity come into my inbox. And then yesterday afternoon, you know this, but I kid you not, listener, we got an email from the BBC inviting us into the BBC studios in Bristol to talk about the podcast.
Oh, I mean, yay.
How weird is that? And it was yesterday morning that I'd been thinking that.
Oh, I love that.
And that email that came in was out of the blue.
Love
But yeah, I found it just left me feeling really motivated, really focused, like you, feeling really kind of buzzy inside. Because a lot of my blocks that I've had, because a lot of the stuff that I've been doing in these tasks that she set us have been about work and about career and about that sort of stuff. And I think one of the blocks that I've had is that when I was younger, I always wanted to go to medical school. My entire childhood, I wanted to be a doctor. And I got a place at medical school and I didn't get the grades. I didn't get the A-level grades. And so I didn't go. So I almost had to go back to ground zero and try and work out what I am and who I am and what I was going to do. And much as that was 100% the right thing, it wouldn't have been right for me. My learning style is not right. My kind of, I just wouldn't have been the right path for me. And I definitely believe that this is the right path for me. Like I'm super happy in what I'm doing and excited about it all. But I think I've held on to that block of that experience of really wanting something and feeling like something was going to happen. And then it's getting ripped out from beneath you.
Oh, interesting.
And so I think I've held on to that. It probably won't happen, or you probably won't be able to do it, or you probably will never get to that place that you want to get to. So I think for me, that's a big
shift.
That's huge, Kate.
Yeah, it is. And that feels, and I think that is something that I've carried with me. And that was part of doing what doing this master's was all about, actually, I think, showing that I could do it and that I was capable of doing it. And it, so it feels really, just going through this whole process has just felt really freeing. And I found it, just a really joyful experience to kind of just look that square in the face and go, I release you.
That's, I bloody love that, Kate.
Yeah.
Oh, that brought tears to my eyes. That was this. It's really, it is shifting big stuff, isn't it? I love it.
It's powerful. Definitely.
Now, at this point, we would usually ask, would you do it again? But I guess we haven't finished it yet, have we?
We're still halfway through.
Will you continue doing it, Kate?
I will continue doing it 100%. I'm on it now. I'm on this train ride. What about you, Gwen?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And like I was saying, you and I were talking about financial blocks, which I definitely think, I feel like I haven't unearthed those yet. I haven't got to the root. I know I've got financial blocks. And I really look forward to getting to the root of those and letting go of what that is. And bringing in wealth in all different areas of my life. So, and also then, you know, we'll be so powerful. You've got to be careful what you wish for. Like when I was coming to Bristol to get my hair cut last week, and I was like, actually, I think my hair's looking quite nice. I don't know if I need a haircut. And then my hairdresser rang to say her husband had gone into hospital because he'd fallen off his bike. I was like,
you bitch, Gwen, how could you?
I was like, universe.
Sorry. Yeah.
So be careful what you wish for.
With great power comes great responsibility.
And the other thing I just really love is that it's all about continual manifestation. It's continually putting it out there. So, yeah, I'm definitely into it. I'm definitely excited about finishing the rest of the book, and I want to do her course as well, and I want to be her best friend.
Signed up. Watch out, Emma. Don't give her your postcode.
Hello,
she's
Emma, on I'm on my way.
Thank you for listening. And as always, we love to hear from you. So you can contact us at writeupmypodcast@gmail.com. And you can also follow us and get in touch with us via Instagram and Twitter. And our handle is @writeupmy.
Don't forget to subscribe and follow wherever you listen. And if you are on Apple, please go over and write us a review. We would absolutely love it. And if it's a good one, we'll read it out.
We sure will.
And don't forget to share with your friends. If you enjoyed it, maybe they will too.
And another reminder about our Patreon page, head over to patreon.com/writeupmypodcast, where you can join the Write Up My Podcast Club for as little as £3 a month. And thank you, as always, to our talented team.
Andy Grimes on the music. Absolutely brilliant to have him back in our ears. And Erica Francis George, who makes us look brilliant with our handcrafted, hand-cut artwork.
We'll be back in a couple of weeks with our next episode all about rituals and spells. But in the meantime, keep trying things
to make you feel good. Bye-bye.
Tell me, did you like the podcast, Brian?
No!
Oh. If, unlike Brian, you thought our podcast was really great, then don't hold back, like, subscribe and tell your mate. But if, like Brian, you thought our podcast wasn't fun, then just keep quiet, don't feel the need to tell anyone. Oh, we'd love to hear from you if you've got some thoughts to share, such rich and lovely views that all should be aware of. But I hope you liked our podcast and you thought it was really great. And if you did, like, subscribe and tell your mate. 'Cause we don't need grumpy pants bringing everybody down. No, we don't need negative Nellies making people frown. So I hope you liked our podcast and you thought it was really great. And if you did, like, subscribe and tell your mate.